So welcome to the inaugural episode of the County Fence podcast. I'm Brandon Mason, and I'm here with Greg Williams. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're recording from Paonia, Colorado, beautiful town that we both live in here. And I wanted to start out talking about like why we're here, why we both moved to Delta County and Paonia specifically, and some of the things that drew us to this area specifically. Greg, do you want to share some of what has brought you out here?
Well, primarily, I would have to say spirit kind of guided me out here. Always controlling things. I've kind of set my sails, leaving Brooklyn, New York in 2022 of March. I kind of didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to go. And I was just going to allow spirit to blow me somewhere. And it blew me into Delta County. And then when, after I was here, my rational brain started looking around. It's like, oh, this seems like a very nice, safe spot, especially figuring what's going on in the world. And looking at security, it was like, oh, primarily, I feel safe here. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I can be my genuine self here. I'm not on edge. I'm not in a fight or flight situation. And a year ago, I actually packed my stuff up and left the North Fork Valley for a year and decided after a while, a bit of time, I had to get back to the North Fork because the rest of the world is not operating on the same operating system that I seem to be moving into.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew you before when you first moved to Paonia. And I think we met through the land use code proceedings. I was video recording those. You gave testimony there, as so many people did. One of the things that I really appreciate about seeing the land use codes and how that whole process unfolded was I got to see so many people were standing up for a way of being in service to the land. And that was so impactful for me to see that it wasn't what can I get from this? I'm creating this enterprise for profit. And the land is in service to me. So many people here have the perspective of they're doing something that's in service to this beautiful land that they feel a communion, a sense of connection with. And I think that's one of the really unique things about this area.
Also, with the land use, it was kind of a glimpse that of the future of kind of now. There seems to be a lot of division, but it seems that the middle is tightening up. That it's just like the mandate issues. Actually, people from both sides of the aisle came together on the same issue, and it seemed that was also with the land use. It wasn't strictly conservatives, and it wasn't strictly liberals. It was people who enjoyed freedom and didn't want the government boot coming down on their head and on their property harder than what it is. This county is unique. You go over to the Crested Butte and Gunnison County, the taxes and the restrictions, they're basically trying to force anybody that's not of a certain wealth out of the county in ownership. You can see that in several places here. It's very obvious that it's like, if you're not a millionaire, you're not going to own anything, and you're just a pure service class. And maybe that's a glimpse into the future that they would like nationwide.
Yeah, that was one of the big reasons why I got involved in land use codes, because I saw basically that they were going to be criminalizing behavior. A lot of people here are living out in tents and yurts and campers and whatever the situation is. that's the decision they're making in their lives. That's what's appropriate for them. That's how I feel. I don't think it's right to interfere with people, you know, solving the problem of housing in their lives, how they choose to. And I understand, you know, one of the big arguments and pushbacks against that was like, oh, people are going to poop in the river and whatever. And I think existing property rights are already an accurate description of, like, you can't interfere with somebody else's right of enjoyment of their own property. And I just saw the measures that were being taken, and you know, we'll see how this unfolds over time. Right now the county has said, you know, oh, well, you know, we're implementing this stuff so we have the capacity to take action, but, you know, oh, you'll be grandfathered in and you know, everybody will be fine, don't worry about it. You will see how it you know, rolls out in the long term.
The fear reminded me of other operations. There's already laws that you can't poop in the river.
Yes.
There's already health. I mean, so it's another one of those redundants where they use a fear for laws that are already taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the grandfathering in. It reminds me of, I share stories about my political action in 2007, 2008. People don't realize that in most municipalities, gardening was made illegal.
Mm.
And so it's in the books in most places across country. And the groups I was working with politically action-wise was fighting this. And to this day, people don't realize that, you know, when they need that law, they can come back and say, yes, that law now is 20 years old and it's been in the books.
Right. What do people search for if they want to find information about that, that gardening has been made illegal in many places? Is there a standard name that sort of legislation falls under?
I forget now. It's been a long time. I slept several times since then. And the same time is the internet's a big wormhole that sucks all information. And yeah, I haven't Googled it in a while, but it really was a big thing happening where even then in 2008, I had a vision of goon squads being shown slides of what a garden looks like. Then it'd be in La Rose, you'd have tomato cages, and for 2 years I made permaculture crazy gardens.
Mm.
Just to prove that it's like a garden doesn't have to look like a garden to produce food.
Yeah, to share a little bit more about my story and what brought me here, I how deep do I want to go on this? So I built a bed platform in the back of a RAV4 in 2020. I decided to travel. I had let go of everybody from my software company in Phoenix, Arizona, and in a relationship that was really important to me, and that dissolved. And I was in this process of grieving that. It's like all the connections and all the responsibilities in my life fell away. And I was in the process of grieving that. And then 2 months later, lockdowns were announced. And I just knew I was going to be depressed if I stayed there in Phoenix. And I was like, I gotta go. I gotta get on the road. And so I had seen this YouTube video of a build out for the RAV4 or the Honda CRV. And I really liked the layout of it. It felt like it would be really practical and it was straightforward to build. So I ended up doing like a prototype of that. And then I went up to my dad's house in Idaho. He's got a shop, and I did the full build out there. I welded a platform together and bolted it into the chassis of the car and got everything solid. got a pull-out drawer with a cooking stove. And I went through, like, during the height of the pandemic, I traveled through about 7 states. Went through California, Oregon, Idaho. I'd never been to Colorado before, and it was on my list of places to explore. When I went to New Mexico in 2017, I had some really amazing experiences there, and it felt like I was in a conversation with the earth and the sky and being guided from place to place. And I had never felt that anywhere else in the world. And it's funny, like at the end of that experience, it was about 3 weeks of going around New Mexico like that. I was being guided by spirit at that time as well. And I asked for confirmation. I'm like, wow, I'm having all these experiences and it seems divinely orchestrated. Is this real? And I came into this, it was an antique store, and they had a bookshelf, and I pulled a book out of the middle of it, and it was The House at Otoe Bridge. It was the tale of Edith Warner, who was running a coffee shop at the base of Black Mesa during the Manhattan Project, when all the scientists were working on the atomic bomb, and Niels Bohr and Oppenheimer would come down to her kitchen and drink coffee and get pie. And I didn't know this at the time. I just flipped open to the middle of the book, and I heard this expression of her talking about this wonder and amazement at the sunsets and this connection with the earth and the sky there in New Mexico. And, you know, right away I knew, like, this book was answering, you know, really directly, like, the experience that I was having. And what I found out about it as I picked up that book and read it, took it home. This woman, Edith Warner, had been accepted into the Pueblo Indian community. And as she was having all these connection experiences with the landscape and the sky there, they told her, yeah, we've been cultivating that over tens of thousands of years. That's not an accident. That's a relationship. And the whole spiral of her story was this connection between the Pueblo nations and this intersection with the scientists who were working on the atomic bomb. And many of them came to her funeral at the end of her life and said, this was the place where we encountered peace. When we were doing something that was disturbing to us, you know, we all entered into this mission thinking that it was the right thing to do, but we all had moments of questioning and asking ourselves, is it really? And this little coffee shop was the place that they came and they felt a sense of peace. And yeah, I've had this happen at various times in my life where I have just a profound experience of feeling like I'm guided. And when I ask for confirmation, I get a book in my hands that just literally spells it out for me and puts it all in perspective, you know, like, here's the bigger timeline, dude. Here's what you're a part of. So, yeah, that's how I fell in love with the Four Corners region. And I knew that Colorado was a part of that. And I'd wanted to come up here and explore. And when I got here during 2020, I had a podcast and a blog, and I was interviewing people as an excuse to get to know people. And people were coming out of the woodwork in this area. There was what I found specifically on the Western Slope, specifically in the North Fork, a lot of self-reliance and also intentionality. And it was the intersection of those two things that felt really good to me. Like, these are the people I want to be around. this is the culture that I feel drawn to be a part of. And like you said, during COVID, the world was going crazy. And so to find an island of sanity, to find some people who seem to be connected to self, be connected to land, be anchored into something that was undisturbed by all of the human hyperbole, by the hysteria, by the fear, to find something that was still grounded and rooted, you know, people that are, you know, when I came here, to me, it's about being connected to the mountain. It's about being connected to the river and the trees. Like, these things are available to us. Nature is always available to us, and it's undisturbed by the cycles of human behavior.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing here. All right.
It was a long intro, but I think it's important to, you know, share these stories, the real human stories of why we're here.
Yeah, another thing that I'm drawn to is, it seems like, yeah, prior to 20 years ago, we used to all get along. And there, and it was based upon our interests. And, you know, it's nice to come back to where, yeah, my interest is sustainability, off-grid living, natural healing, which in so a myriad of forms, there is an amazing amount of people doing that in several different ways. Like one of the, I think one of the if you came here to be a massage therapist and make money, or a yoga teacher, good luck, because it's saturated. But also too, it seems like we have a group of people where if money was your priority, you would not be moving to Delta County. There are other places, even in all this, is like, I say, so yeah, if it becomes a time that it's like, oh, I need to seriously redo my bank account, I know where to go. You know, and it's out of here, but it's like, that's that, and it's amazing what's going on here and who's drawn here. Mm-hmm. And hearing the myriad of stories of like, why are you here? What brought you to Delta County? And usually the stories are not short answers.
No. Yeah, a lot of the people I've talked to here came for community. But one of the first questions that I ask people is, well, what does community mean to you? Because I feel like it means so many different things to different people. And we can have the assumption right off the bat that it means the same thing to us. And a lot of people go into, you know, relationships, communities with the idea that they're on the same page. I know I'm not the only one who's had this experience of like realizing out after the fact, like, oh, we actually weren't on the same page about those things.
Yeah. It's another relationship. And it's just like meeting someone and that you come in with assumptions of what a relationship looks like, what good communication. And yeah, and you're in the midst of doing the dance with somebody before you even realize that you weren't speaking the same language, and that assuming that someone else is understanding you when you are using proper words is not necessarily how language works. It's like pointing at the duck rabbit, and one person is seeing the duck and the other person is seeing the rabbit. That's even with pictures, and words are very similar to that, especially with like complex ideas. They're strung along, and that we don't have these discussions of what community is. We haven't, as a community, we haven't defined what it looks like in 2025 of how do we reimagine operating with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every example we have has been like, yeah, good fences make good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, where that paradigm seems it's not sustainable. It's no longer working.
The paradigm of personal private property separated by a fence.
Yes.
Why is that no longer working?
Because we really are finding how dependent we are actually on each other. This idea of living alone and taking care of ourselves only happens when you have Papa Government and Papa Corporation footing the bill and making ourselves in a way that's not sustainable and not really reality. And they've put that to separate us and keep us isolated. Where going back to 2020, 2021, a lot of us realized how isolated we each were and how isolated as a group. It was amazing to look at. It's like, oh, wow, one of the most important things in life, we're all completely bankrupt.
Mm.
In that, not having community, not having neighbors let alone know your name, and that was my experience in Brooklyn. And I people are like, why did you move to New York? It's like, well, one is, I believe, once again, spirit guided me there to learn something big, and I was in the eye of the needle there in New York. That story is not just told to me of how isolating and how compliant people can be and mistrusting of each other based upon something that's told to them on the television.
Yeah.
And seeing where everyone was in compliance. It was 2 years almost of a completely, I don't even know what it would be, but it's like, sounds like mental illness, but it's not. It felt like being in New York was that I was in a video game.
Mm.
And everybody was part of the program. Mm-hmm. And nobody broke the program. It wasn't like there was a reprieve. You'd come home and you'd have a couple good friends where you could like go, oh, whew, okay. There was no end to it. Mm. Every day was like you go out and it seemed like the non-player characters repeating the same five phrases that everyone else is. Or even then, like the whole city was under mass hypnosis.
Sure.
And being the only one where it's like, yeah, I didn't get hypnotized. I'm still the guy looking around on the stage and everyone else is, Yeah, I stood up on hypnosis stages at the state fair a couple of times, and I'm always kicked off the first round. They're like, no, get out of here. It's like, I guess I can't get hypnotized.
Oh, gotcha. Like, literally, the hypnosis people up there. Yeah.
They kick the ones
You're not the type for that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know people have different levels of susceptibility.
Yeah. But back around is that, having the discussion and figuring out that, getting ahead of ourselves is that the paradigm shift. And in the paradigm shift, going from materialism into the earth to into air, I see that it's naturally going that way, but that's going to be the priorities. I mean, owning things are not... I mean, we're going to have a big lesson here. I've been doing real estate. I'm in people's houses. There are these big branches. And those houses are full of stuff, head to toe. I mean, it's not messy. We're not talking hoarders. We're just talking like decorated. There's knickknacks everywhere. And it's like, well, what happens when that person moves? What happens to those knickknacks that are I having visions in the last couple of weeks too, like which I've had before too, is like we could shut down imports for 20 years and probably be fine with the amount of stuff that's made. The amount of stuff that, like, not only you see that they're building storage sheds everywhere, everyone's house is full of stuff.
Yeah.
And going actually and, you know, seeing that reality, it's like, wow. Wow. And so we're moving away from that. And it's, you know, and a lot of people comforted them with stuff. And then I've done it myself. And that we're seeing that that's no longer the answer. That's just the empty. And so we really are, as a group, moving to something else where the priorities have shifted.
Yeah, I see different narratives pointing at the same thing. The World Economic Forum has their "you will own nothing and you will be happy" narrative, right? And that's a narrative where powerful players get to own everything truly and just rent it back to us. But there's a sense in which it's also true, like, maybe owning nothing and being happy is actually a better state of affairs, not to just play into the World Economic Forum's version of it, but to say, well, what's my version of this? If I don't agree with everybody having a lawnmower and a drill press and a, you know, complete shop and all of the equipment to do everything they need. There's a lot of duplication here. There's a lot of equipment sitting idle and unused and collecting dust. And so even if you don't agree with the World Economic Forum and just want to, you know, fall in and go along with that, it's like we really have the paradigm shift is going to happen regardless. There's a reality to it. There's a need for that. And I think my point of encouragement would be, I guess, for us to discuss, well, what is it? What does it look like? What's the way of being that actually feels more true to us all as a community here in Delta County? As a community on the county fence, like
a lot of this is who's writing the narrative of the future.
Yep.
And yes, it's like, yeah, own nothing and be happy. That probably ultimately, I mean, a lot of that's the irony of is there's a lot of truth in the statements, but in that, yes, I could see the not playing their game by their rules change. What is the narrative? And that's kind of, I think, what the county fence is. What is the narrative here for Delta County? What is our story? It doesn't seem like we do have a story. Our collective story is so fractured that I think that's part of the community, is not only people getting together and smiling and having fun, but what is it, the narrative that we're working on collectively? Who are we as a people? Who are we as the citizens of Delta County?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, like, changing the narrative, how sustainable are we? What does sustainability really look like? It's the same thing as even with the environment. Nobody's going to argue that corporations are doing damage to the environment. The problem that some people have, and I have too, is that the solutions are being given by the same corporation, and it's easy just to follow those instructions by them and not owning it.
Yeah.
Going back to early sermons, I read a couple books on early sermons of the American Revolution. And one term that kept on coming up is self-governance.
Okay.
And that was very powerful, and I think that's something that we need to...
That was a principle that people were fighting for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And self-governance goes from yourself maintaining your end of the sidewalk, maintaining, you know, your desires, you know, like even then, okay, you owe nothing, but are you going to take, you know, X amount of money out of your paycheck per month to pay for this subscription and that subscription? Or can you say, you know what, I don't need Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix is not serving me.
Well, and it's own nothing, and who is your God? Who and what do you orient your life around? Is it, you know, do you define your identity to be a collection of brands, and that's what you are, that's who you are? I wear Nikes, I have a Gouda purse. Or is your definition of self something that evolved from within, from your own personal experiences in life, from what's brought you joy, from what's given you a sense of fulfillment, from what's true, right? When you have a personal sense of knowing that's developing, of discernment of truth and fiction, and you begin to build the intuition and the knowing of what's true and what's not, that's self-development. And that's not defined by a brand. That's not defined by a story. That's just something within you that's strong, that can't be swayed, because you've created the evidence within your own life of what truth is. You've seen it, you've been there, you won't be easily persuaded otherwise. So I think, you know, this is a core topic and a core reason why the county fence exists, because I see narratives as the means by which control is exercised within our culture now, but also through all of human history. And the age that we've entered into is one in which all of the information platforms have been hijacked to be propaganda outlets. And there are exceptions, of course. There are a lot of independent publishers who are putting out a message that's authentic to them, right? They're holding themselves accountable for speaking the truth. Right? That goes back to self-governance, right? And, you know, that's what we're proposing to do here. It doesn't mean that we'll always get it right, but we are proposing to guide ourselves by a set of ethics and by a set of principles, and to encourage listeners, people who want to join the platform and get involved with what we're doing. We're encouraging personal autonomy, and for a person to come into their own sense of what is true, what is your moral code, what matters to you, and to be able to bring that out in conversation with other people so we can begin to discern what is it that we have in common, what is the common ethic between us, which is the basis for us actually beginning to work together in stronger ways.
And one of the things I see that's nice about the Delta County fence is that we're actually physically neighbors.
Yes.
That we, you know, we're taking something that is, you know, that's generally where the audience is scattered across the country, across the world, and primarily our focus is here that's local.
Yeah.
And in a county that where it's not overrun with largest. I mean, how many people are in the county themselves? Do you know the count?
I think it's 30,000 people in Delta County.
Yeah. Yeah. And per square mile, it's not that much.
No.
And we're a farming country. I mean, there's less populated counties in Colorado, but I think even then, this is a nice size to be able to come together and discuss these narratives and realize that we have much more in common with each other than we do with, you know, Washington, D.C., which is, you know, what, 3,000 miles away.
Yes. Yeah, one of the patterns that I'm noticing with the news cycles and what people end up devoting their time and attention to is a lot of it is really spiraling out into hysteria about things that are completely beyond our power. And it's we don't want to just shut off the sensory awareness of what's going on globally or what's going on nationally. I think we need to be aware of it to some degree, but if it doesn't inform action that's occurring locally, then, I mean, I have to ask myself when I'm consuming news and information, if it doesn't impact what I'm going to do locally, how valuable is it to me? And a lot of times when I'm watching something, I'm just, you know, I have a pre-existing bias, I have a pre-existing story, and I get a little bit of juice, I get a little bit of dopamine out of hearing something that validates the story that I already have. But when I'm listening to the news stories day after day after day, I'm not actually hearing, it's not necessarily moving forward. And I'm not involving myself. I'm not actually doing something to, you know, change or impact that. So I think the ways that, you know, global events are relevant and impact us here, I mean, obviously the economic situation of the United States is going to affect us here in Delta County. But then when it comes to the question of what do we do about that, it's like, well, all the things that we could do are right here in front of us. They're not 1,000 miles away. They're not in Washington, D.C. It's a question of what can we do to create infrastructure, to create businesses here, to create supply chains, to create the capacity that when instability occurs in the global sense, that Delta County itself could be connected and resilient enough, self-reliant enough, that maybe we're a little bit less impacted by that. Maybe our neighbors could lean on us a little bit because we actually have the capacity to stay strong during disruptions. You know, to me, that would be a beautiful outcome if we can actually create that, and create that not from, you know, the government's going to step in and make everything right, but looking at the resources, the talents, the people on the ground and saying, well, how can we think about our situation differently that reveals new opportunities?
Exactly. And that it actually still comes back to that self-governance. Self-governance on every level. It's not, you know, that we are, you know, governing ourselves. It's the theme was action. You know, like even faith without action is death. And the same time as you're talking about these news stories where, you consume them, you get an emotional kickback, but it requires no work, nothing. And yet every issue that is macro, we can find a micro. We can find something here that is the same thing that requires someone just to do something.
Yeah, it's something I see a disconnect in the current media where on the one hand, you have global stuff that's very much fear porn and all the things we don't want to happen and what we're running away from. And there's no real, you know, focus on what is practical action that you can take with regards to this. And then on the other hand, you have local publications and it's like, you know, here's the kids' basketball games and, you know, celebrating a ribbon cutting at a new business. And these two worlds seem totally disconnected. It's like, you know, as a person, do I have to choose between, you know, happy La La Land, you know, focus on what's local and just ignore everything else, or focus on the global stuff, but sit and be completely powerless about it. I think we need to bridge these two things. We need to bridge our understanding of who we are in the greater world with what we're going to do today?
Yes. You got me thinking. Computers.
Stack Overflow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they want inaction. That's what we go through with this, you know, I saw your notes on the narcissistic. Basically, they want to drive people into fear and inaction.
Mm.
And that's, I think, that's the shame. Like, you look at small towns where, yeah, they are small and they have their issues, but it has, they've made it much worse by, like, continually feeding this fear porn and dividing everyone. And of all places, a small town county should just be like, you know what? DC's a long ways away, and what's important is my neighbor that lives next door to me, regardless of what sign he decides to put in his yard.
Beautiful, yeah. Yeah, and we have a lot more in common than we have separating us. People are focusing on what's different, right? But they're, by doing so, they're really feeding into, and they're allowing themselves to be used as a dividing force. People are allowing division to live within themselves. So it's a choice, you know, what we choose to focus on and prioritize, what we choose to recognize in each other. One of the major principles that I'd like to, you know, focus on as a way of being within the county fence and the type of culture that I'd like to build is one in which we seek to articulate the viewpoints of others, and we do so in a way that would be satisfying to them. So we're not just trying to straw man somebody and like make the weakest possible argument for their position, which is what happens a lot. And it's, you know, it certainly doesn't build bridges. But if we could actually find within ourselves, like, the ability to care about and want to articulate that person's perspective, not because we agree with it, but because they're our neighbor and their priorities and their perspective matters to us. They're a part of the community. And so the community is actually all of us with all of our different perspectives and priorities. And a person has to be able to get past themselves a little bit in order to form those bridges, in order to, you know, be willing to connect with others. Your precondition can't be that everybody has to think and act like I do.
And those places that manifest that are very boring places that I would not want to live in.
Like North Korea?
Yeah. Or, you know, but it, where everybody is thinking the same thing, whatever it is. Personality-wise, I would probably start thinking the opposite of what everyone was doing, just out of being a little bit of oppositionally defiant.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is, the more we dig in the narrative, we find out that the illusions of separation are really what, and so you look at sustainability. Let's look at how things are now and how certain people believe, and they're the fraction, I believe this. What sustainability of the community is having those thoughts and feelings and beliefs that you're my way is right, and I want other people to see that my way is right. This division is unsustainable completely. Like, we're gonna have to, as a community, have to grow up.
Yeah,
and get back to where we're. It's like we can agree to not agree, but also have the discussion so that, you know, I can see what is your side of the fence?
Yeah.
What is your garden? And sometimes, you know, you get to know people and it's like, well, I never really looked at it from that angle. Like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still may not totally agree, but, just looking at in the future is like, this just can't be. This division that we're experiencing across, you know, the divide. So the only solution is doing what's in front of you. And this is our neighbors. This is, you know, other, you know, people that want to do this in other counties. It's, yeah, get to know your neighbors.
Yeah.
Do some work to try to get people back together, at least so that, you know, it should be that the town is tight, but it's not. I mean, yeah, if everybody thought the same, well, what a boring place. I would rather have a tight town where it's like, well, yeah, we all love each other, but we've got a myriad of ideas about how things should be on our own, and we found a way of communicating and working together for a common cause.
Yeah, I don't have kids, but like if I was to share, you know, one message with kids, or if I was to say, well, there's one thing that's worth, you know, showing your kids an example of, I think it would be that, you know, that, hey, all this community, all the people around us, like, we don't all think the same. We don't all agree, but we live in peace together. Like, that's what children need to witness to be coming into a proper sense of themselves as adults.
Yes, mirroring the good behavior that we want to see, because very shortly, those young kids that are 5 are going to be 25. And then I see it now that my children are all in their 20s. And it's like, wow, I remember when they were just tiny babies. And mirroring this good behavior and changing it to where, you know, it's this, the paradigm, the story hasn't worked. There, people have like, give me, take, and I'm personally finding it that like the things that kindergarten traditionally teaches you is things that I like to rediscover. That's not, I have no fear that people will perceive me as weak because, you know, they're teaching these basic skills of sharing and getting along, in which it seems as adults, we're not mirroring the proper behavior that we're supposedly teaching kindergartners of what proper behavior is.
Right.
And it seems like even as communities, dropping some of the stuff and kind of going back with the childlike eyes, mm-hmm. you know, and not judging, like it's not our job to judge everything instantly and have an opinion. You know, that I think that's the part of the problem that we've come into is like, yeah, we've got so many opinion columns and critics, and everybody's a critic, and that's just a downward cycle of you know, negativity, and just really saying that the adults are not acting like adults, you know, way most adults act. If a 5-year-old in kindergarten acted that way, they would be reprimanded.
So let's talk about some of the events that we have coming up and opportunities for people to get involved. We're going to be having some garden parties. You can look for these in the events section at the County Fence, countyfence.org. This podcast, we're going to continue this, and we'll be interviewing people from the local community who are making important contributions. And as we continue this podcast, a major focus that I want to have is inviting people to consider the perspective of others. as a way to connect and build trust within the community and build bridges. So, and I, through the garden parties and through the podcast, we really want to demonstrate and lead by example with the kind of culture that we want to build here in Delta County and on the county fence. And the county fence, ultimately, I see as a tool for us to connect and for us to organize and do things together as a people. But the tool is in service to the culture and not the other way around. And yeah, the other thing I want to say about the county fence is it's in a state of constant evolution right now. If you have used different platforms over the years, like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatnot, you may see these platforms as relatively unchangeable. You know, that's just what they are. And what I want to say about the county fence is it's in a very young stage, and we're still sensing into what is the right tool for the job. What is something that enables the kind of community building, the kind of spirit. I want a spirit of joy and optimism, and to help people focus on what can be done, what's within their power. And so just understand that the software tool that's there will continue to evolve and change. And really that, as a member, as a participant at this stage, you have a voice. This is here to, serve the people of Delta County. And if you want to be a part of something just as it's getting started and really, shape something that's in service to you, I'd encourage you to sign up, talk with us on there. Participate in the conversations. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want. Yeah, and just pretty much everything that I've done really is an invitation to participate. So I hope it can be of service to people and can be something that's useful in their lives.
So turning it around to something positive and something close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then and allowing people that this the forum, like when I've been spending time on it, right, it's open right now too, where people can actually come in and let their voice be heard. Mm-hmm. Share their narrative, share what's going on, in our event space. We'll put anything up that's going on around here, and there's things going on all the time that I find out that it happened the weekend afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, such and such was last weekend. It's like, didn't know about it.
Yeah.
It'll be nice too, is that there's a lot of people that building community with our events too, where it's like, actually having, showing up to the rodeo, local rodeo, and knowing others.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, even people that are from here, and they have their, family circles and stuff, but there's quite a few people in Delta County. It's quite vibrant in the change. There are people coming and going. It's not completely static. It's not what it was 50 years ago as a static rancher, sheeper, orchard town.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of different demographics here, and people lead different styles of lives, and different things are important to them. So yeah, that's as we continue to evolve, I will build in more features for customization and for people to pull in the information streams that are most relevant to them. As we're starting out here, we're really focused around the North Fork, and so some of those, the filtration is a little bit less necessary as we're getting started. But yeah, it'll start to come in as we expand a more locations. Yeah. Anyway, I think this has been just a great conversation and a great intro to some of our backstory, and maybe people can hear, you know, in the stories that we've shared, some common experiences that we've all had over these last few years. And I hope this just presents as an invitation to be a part of a community and be a part of defining a vision for what we do want here in Delta County.
Being one of the actors in the stories, there's only one director, and it's higher up. Yes. And so each of us have a part to play, and we would like to know each character. There's something that, you know, if we drop it down the barriers of like, oh, it has to be my way, that we look at it as like, let's share our stories. Let's figure out what is our common narratives. It's very exciting. This podcast and all this is very exciting for the possibilities. And I think we're putting this faith in action instead of talking about a podcast, instead of actually sitting back and actually doing it.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. We're here recording on Greg's equipment, and he's been generous with his time and just with his enthusiasm with, you know, wanting to be a part of this. And I can't thank you enough. I really just appreciate your friendship. And, you know, I know that you're following that calling too, and just opening up to, you know, what's the being in connection with God and with truth, and letting that lead in your life.
You're most certainly welcome. Yes, it's my pleasure. And it is part of my calling also. And that's what we're marching headlong into a new future that, you know, we're offering opportunity that the others can be part of this narrative. And what is our future? Well, we choose to live right here. Let's turn it up a notch. Let's create the world that together collectively that has space for all of us, unlike what is being bombarded by so many different ways elsewhere. You know, make it so that you drive into Delta County, it's like, ooh. And already you can feel the vibe. It feels very different. The air is a little different right here.
Yeah. Wonderful. Hey, thank you so much, Greg. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us early on the journey here. And sign up at countyfence.org and come talk to us. Get involved.
Awesome. Thank you.